Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Garrett Kaiser's new book is Getting Schooled, The Re-Education of an American Teacher, which is the illuminating memoir of his return to the same rural Vermont high school that he left 14 years ago. It's a great pleasure to welcome Garrett Kaiser to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
And thank you for having me on.
Of course, when you look at this idea of getting schooled, the obvious question is, what led you to leave in the first place?
I left, first of all, ostensibly to homeschool my daughter for a year. And when that was done, I had some writing opportunities and decided to make a leap I contemplated making for some years.
Was that time that you enjoyed not being in the classroom?
Yes.
What brought your return?
I returned at a time when my wife was contemplating a change in jobs. I felt that she was reluctant to take the leap herself, in part because it would leave us without health insurance. I wanted to work at least for a year, if not more, so that she would have the time to do some vocational exploration, especially since she'd afforded me that opportunity for many years. And it happened that the position available, in fact, the only one available where I was granted an interview, was at the same high school I had left 14 years ago. There was someone taking a year's leave, and I applied for the position and received it.
What is fascinating about this story is that you started teaching in that school when you were 27 years old. You return when you're 57 years old. What does experience buy you in returning to that school?
Well, it buys you some precedents, I guess, things that you've seen before, strategies that you've tried and that you can use. Experience, even without a hiatus, does in a community as grounded and tightly knit as the one I live in, give you a certain lore, a certain reputation, whereby you start teaching the younger siblings of older siblings and eventually the children of former students. And if your reputation is passable, that can help you. One of the experiences that bought me a lot, even during my first stint of teaching, is that I went from being a childless teacher to a teacher who was the father of a child who entered school. And when you have a child of your own in school, I think it broadens your perspective. I'm not saying parents make better teachers. There are childless teachers who are wonderful. But in my case, it did give me some perspective, I think, that I was able to bring to the task. Also, having spent those 14 years prior to coming back to teach that year recorded and getting schooled, I had worked as a freelance writer. I had done some extensive research for articles and books. I'd worked with some very fine editors. And those world of work experiences, for lack of a better term, translated into things that I could share with my students and strategies I could use in teaching them to write and to edit their own work.
I love the story you tell in the book of returning and you're working with a principal, you're serving under a principal who was one of your students as a 14-year-old kid.
That's right. My principal I first knew him as a freshman English student in my classroom years ago, and in that year, recorded in my book, he was my principal.
And you liked him as a student and you liked him as a principal?
Yes, to both questions.
Yes. And I assume that makes it easier when you are coming back to something.
Easier and harder. It certainly made it easier in that I had something that many teachers and just many people working do not have. I had a respectful supervisor. The other side of that was I felt there was a real gesture of trust extended to me in bringing me back to the school after so many years out of the saddle. And I was loath to let the school down or to let this man down by not performing up to the expectations that brought me back in the first place. So that was certainly a challenge. But yes, I was at a decided advantage. Not that I was cut or given any free rides, and I didn't want any, but I had the respect of the person who was my superior.
It seems like in reading the book that one of the big changes in the 14 years that you were away were technological changes in the way that things were taught and the concerns having to do with the students and testing and so forth, that a lot of it was, yes, curriculum, but also technology.
Yes, I would cite that as one of the major changes between the school I left in the mid-90s and the one that I entered in 2010.
Is it possible for you to rank it in the sense of is one better than the other?
No, I don't think it's a matter of one being better than the other. I think that they are different, and I think that there have been some definite gains, but in my view also some definite losses, or at least areas of concern that come about from bringing so much digital equipment into the school.
What was your interaction and your time like with the students at the school, the relationship that you had with the students?
Well, every relationship has its rocky moments, including marriages that are either made in heaven or appear to have been made there. And my relationship with my students had its rocky moments, surely, but I would say that overall, I enjoyed positive relations with the majority of my students and on the majority of the days I was there. Now, to get a more nuanced answer to that question, you would, of course, have to have each of the students on your program and ask them, and they might tell a different story. But I found the interactions positive. I found most of the kids really courteous and cooperative, which was remarkable in view of some of the challenges that some of them faced outside of school. I had a couple of pips, every teacher does, mm-hmm. but overall, I would say that the interactions were positive, and probably not all for the same reason. There are probably several reasons why that was so.
You talk in the book about the necessity of bringing love to the practice of teaching, and you also point out that it's hard to honestly say that you love teaching. How so?
Well, a person can love their deity and not wish to become a monk or a clergy person. I think it's important to bring love to teaching because I think it's important to bring love to any work one does and in the best of circumstances we can. And in teaching, that includes, love for the material one teaches, love for the process of learning, and the ability to appreciate human beings in their fullness. And of course, part of your job as a teacher is to try to expand that fullness. But there is not an exact congruence between work and a job in which one is paid to do that work. And while there were things about the work of teaching that I enjoyed, there were things about the job I did not, and part of it was that to do it right and to do it even to a medium level of competence, it eats up one's life. I tell the story in the book about my daughter at one point saying she wished She could make two daddies, one to grade papers and one to play pirates with her. That was especially acute, you know, when I had a young child at home. I didn't during the time I was writing Getting Schooled. But it meant that certain things that were very, very important to me, reading, maintaining a robust correspondence. I write virtually a letter a day, several hundred every year, not counting emails. Time with my wife. I enjoy doing physical work outside. All of those things were cut down pretty severely by taking that job. So to say I loved the job of teaching would simply be dishonest, but that I tried to bring love and the respect and regard and passion that go with love to the job, yes, I did.
When you went back, did you always know that the time that you would be there would be defined, that you knew when you were going to leave?
Well, officially I did, because it was only a one-year position for a teacher on leave. There were some hints that perhaps that individual wouldn't come back. And if he didn't come back, I suppose there was at least the possibility that the position would either be offered to me, or more likely that I would be invited to interview for it and compete for it. And so in that sense, there was a possibility of the job going on beyond the year. But the plan when I took it, both on the school side and on my side, was that it would be for 1 year only.
When all was said and done, what do you think that the students learned from you, or at least that you hope they learned from you, and what did you learn from them?
Well, I'll start with what I learned from them, and some of this was relearning. My book's subtitled The Re-Education of an American Teacher. I learned that human beings cannot be reduced or be described by reductionist formula, whether they be test results or best practices set in stone or anything else. Human beings transcend the cookie cutter categories we like to impose upon them. I learned certainly, I would say, some things about the resilience and the decency of human beings, which in my view, you know, you have to have some faith in that for any kind of progressive politics to make sense. I mean, if human beings are all degraded scoundrels, then what's the point of trying to make any kind of a better society? And the students also taught me, I think, you know, what the boundaries of my limitations were, boundaries of skill, boundaries of patience, and boundaries of endurance. I got very sick during part of the year with pneumonia and flu and a number of other things because I became run down. As far as what they learned from me, I guess I hope they learned some language arts in English. I hope they learned to love some literature. I hope they learned to appreciate what writers are doing in their work. I hope they grew more competent in the use of their own language, more confident in their right to claim it as their own and to make use of it to get their needs met. And I hope they learned from me that adult life is worth living to get to, that it can be fun, that it is a struggle, and that however capable or competent human beings might appear, adults are fallible, and just as kids need to be cut some slack once in a while, so do adults. I used to tell my students, we'll get along a lot better, I think, if I tell myself every day that you guys are not 57, and if every day you tell yourselves that I am not 17.
Well, the name of the book is Getting Schooled, The Re-Education of an American Teacher. It is published by Metropolitan Books. Garrett Kaiser, a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Getting Schooled. It is published by Metropolitan Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.